Now from Westport Communications Treetop Studio A, overlooking the North Beverly train station, here's Dana and Muggs.
Okay, 8:49 here on Mornings with Dana and Muggs. Mark Friedman joins us now. Mark, our good friend and host of Dollars and Cents at Sundays from 8 to 9. I was listening this Sunday, in fact. Mark, also the president of Friedman Financial, celebrating, get this, its 50th year here on the North Shore. And you may or may not know this, Mark is also a former member of Up With People.
I'd like to teach
there we
you.
Go.
Yeah,
there we go.
Long time ago, 1960.
There you go. How about that, huh?
Yeah. I'd like to hold it in my arms.
Brings it right back.
Look at that. Look at that. He gets right in.
Falls right in.
There you go.
The Wheaties generation, as they call it.
Yes, indeed.
Well, it's a pleasure having you on the program here. I haven't seen you for a while. I haven't had a chance to talk to you for a while because you've been in India a couple of times.
I've been in India, yeah, and I filled in for you while you were away on vacation, dipping your toe in the pool in Boca.
I heard a rumor to that effect, yes, actually. What are you doing in India?
Actually, I go out there and I train other financial advisors.
Really?
To do financial planning, yeah. The world's changing over there. I mean, it's amazing what goes on in India.
No kidding.
If you want to see development, you want to see the future, you go to India and you see, wow, this place is just blowing up. I mean, it's unbelievable.
And you've been there twice now, is that?
Yeah, within the past year.
Yeah, how long did you stay there once you go there?
I wish it was longer because it's a very long,
it's a long
flight.
Ride, isn't
it is one long, long ride. And you've got, you know, extraordinary wealth next to abject poverty. Right next to each other. And everybody respects each other. The traffic is intense. It's just absolutely wild over there. You wouldn't want to try to cross the street.
Do you like going over there?
You know, I liked it a lot the first time I went. The second time it was all work, so I really didn't get to go out and do much. But, you know, the stuff that you hear about, you know, the food and the stomach challenges you might have and all that kind of stuff, it all depends on where you stay. I did the businessman's experience, so you stay in really nice hotels, and these places are opulent. Yeah. Absolutely opulent.
Any Friedman Financial billboards over there?
Not that I saw. But you know what they love in India? Yeah. Believe it or not, they love Donald Trump.
Do they?
Yeah.
There are Trump billboards, Trump signs everywhere in India.
Well, you can't help it.
I'm that kind of guy.
What'd you say? What did Donald what'd you say?
I just can't help it. I'm that kind of guy.
Exactly.
You know, Mark, honestly, I was looking over what you do, and a thought occurred to me. You meet with people and consult with people. You do. But in the worst of times and in the best of times. Like, you have the option of saying, you know, I was looking, saying, well, I don't know if you'd meet with me if I won the lottery, but you do. Sudden wealth.
That's right.
You meet with people. Marriage. You know, you meet with people. Divorce.
Yeah, it's all these life events.
It's life events.
Life events. When those things happen, good and bad. I mean, the economy doesn't matter. Whether the economy is good or bad, people still have, you know, thinking about their money. But usually there's some type of a life event, whether it's retirement, sending my kid off to college,
a shift,
a divorce, a death in the family, winning, scratching, you know, how are you doing on those lottery tickets, by the way?
$24.40 for the year.
Yeah. Congratulations. Still not meeting the minimum, though, Muggs, so keep working at it.
The Muggsmobile is knee-deep in those scratch tickets.
Oh, yeah, I tell you.
Yeah, really.
You know, if you save those tickets, you can actually write them off.
I'm worried. I was already informed by Mr. Hurst.
Yes, I only told him they could do that. Yeah. We talked about that before. Well, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. I hope it does happen to you someday.
I'm waiting, Muggs.
I hope that you're going to be knocking on Mark's door.
41 Cross Street, 41? Second floor.
Right above Alto Forno. Right. We haven't been to Alto Forno. Great restaurant.
Brand new facility you guys did over there. It's a beautiful
pictures. We just moved over there in September. So we're there, what, about 9-10 months now? We've doubled our space. It's an amazing spot. It does overlook Sears, so that's probably the drawback there. I mean, it's not the most attractive thing to look at. But hey, what I heard, by the way, little secret, little fairy told me that Sears might be going away and Tesla could be moving in over there.
Well, that's not much of a secret now.
Oh, okay, I guess.
It was in the Wall Street Journal.
That
Tesla somehow is signing some pact with Sears or whatever, merger with Sears or whatever.
I don't know what it is, but that's what I heard.
Well, Sears needs some help. And
they do.
So does Tesla, quite frankly, at this point right now. Mark, you know, I read this that you were celebrating your 50th anniversary at Friedman Financial, and I said to myself, guy doesn't look to be 75, 76. He'd have to be, right, Dan?
You got that right, Dan.
Yeah.
So I was actually in diapers when my father started the business in 1968. You know, it's kind of interesting.
Friedman only had one E back then.
He only had one kid back then. He had two others. But, Dad started the business in the basement of his home. And what's really interesting is the whole concept of financial planning really started in the 60s when my dad joined the started up in the business.
Right.
And there's a book called The History of the Encyclopedia of Financial Planning. And my dad is among the 24 people that are considered the founding fathers of the profession. So,
wow. In his basement. In your basement.
Well, he was just one. He started in the basement. Yeah, the house. And the funny thing is I frankly had no idea what my father did for years. I mean, what kid would know that?
Right.
And so my dad asked me one day, hey, you want to help out in the office? And it would be in my family room. You know, dad's office was behind at the back of the house. You'd have to go around the house to go visit with my dad. But the workspace was just the family room. And so I'd go downstairs to the family room and I had to add up these columns because back then there was no computers, right? You had the ledger sheets.
Right.
So I go downstairs. I'm 14, 15 years old adding up ledger columns. And my father says, what the hell are you doing down here? He says, coming to work. He says, you don't have a tie on. A tie. It's in my own family room to add up columns.
Really?
Back then, that was the rule. If you're going to work for me, you're putting on a shirt and tie.
Wow. And now you never wear a tie to work.
I never, not anymore. You know, and the reason why.
I was just going to say, you're not wearing a tie right now.
You're not wearing a tie now.
No. Yeah. And the reason why was because if there was a client visiting my dad in the office and they needed to use the bathroom, they had to walk through the family room to get to the bathroom in the house.
I see.
And so they didn't want us lounging around during office hours.
Yeah.
If I'm going to sit there doing work and use the family room, had to put on the tie.
Your father was a very wise man.
And well, my dad had this rule for years that when I first started working with dad, when I started in 1991 when I joined him, I had to wear a tie to work and jacket, and he did, and everybody else did, until my father found golf. And then when he realized there's such a thing called golf, he realized, it'd be a pain in the neck to have to wear a tie on the golf course if I leave early. So he started with the open collar shirt.
Right.
And that's now become something that's much more of the norm.
Oh, sure. And as we all know, a lot of business can be done on the golf course.
And it sure can.
As well. Yeah.
It sure
as I said, he was a very wise man.
He was. He was. Dad retired in 2007. I bought the business from him. So he's been out 11 years now. We've got our business now is seven people. Marion Gilman, who's been with me since 2000, is now my business partner. She's been on my radio show on Sundays, Dollars and Cents, from 8 to 9.
Sure.
And then we've got five other staff that support us. But the cool thing about our office, and the thing that I've loved forever, is that 90% of our clients live within 10 miles of the Treetop Studios right here at North Shore 104.9. Everybody is local. So we have multiple generations of families. We visit with people at our office. We don't go to your home. We don't go to your business. This is about your money. You really have to be able to focus and have the thoughtful conversation with us to make sure that you look at it from the big picture, not just, oh, my God, is this investment the right thing to own?
Right.
How do these investments fall into everything else in your financial life?
I was listening to you this Sunday, and I actually heard you talking about trying to get kids some kind of financial, when I say kids, young people, students, young students, some kind of financial education while they're still in school, still in high school, or still maybe even middle school, whatever.
Yeah, there's a new piece of legislature that's been brought to the the State House, to infuse financial education, financial life skills into the daily curriculum of the public schools. And that whole idea has been brought up 20 times, by the way, in Massachusetts, and has never come to a vote.
There's a lobby preventing that from happening, is
there
not?
I mean, there is a lobby that's preventing it from happening.
Banks are not happy about it.
That's right. Why do you think that is, Dana?
Well, it's because of higher interest rates they can get from the kids, you know?
That's right. Well, and they make all their money on fees. Yeah, the banks, if you got smarter, if you knew how to handle your personal finances, the banks would be losing money. And that
banks make a ton of money on bounced checks.
That's right.
Financial illiteracy.
In some cases, the banks are making 50% of their revenue from fees. Yeah. And that could be bounced checks, ATM fees, all of those things.
Well, that actually has become more and more intense because of the fact that interest rates
have
been so low.
They can't make any money on the
spread.
The
margins are not high enough for them, so they've gone to these, you know. No, you can't get free checking anywhere anymore because it's all smoke and mirrors. If they give you free checking, it's got to be a balance of $10,000 in the checking account at all times anyway because they're not making any money, and the fees is what they're making their money.
I mean, who knew you could gather scratchies and duds for lottery tickets and write them up.
And write them up. There you go.
You know, but, Mark, I heard a show you did, and it was going back a ways. You were interviewing kids. You were actually out of studio. You're usually broadcasting here at the station. You were talking to kids. I thought it was a great show because you were at, like, a job fair or something like that.
Yeah, so we're actually doing it again, May 22nd.
Okay.
I'll be at the Credit for Life Fair at the Credit for Life Fair is in Masco on the 22nd. I think it's a couple weeks later at Andover High School. And what it is, it's a program to teach kids about money.
I think that, I thought that was great.
It's the program. It's actually run through the Institution for Savings and a couple other organizations. And what they do is these kids who are seniors and juniors are given the opportunity. They're given a portfolio. They say, you have just graduated college. Your starting salary is $37,000.
Right.
And you want to move out of your house. Here's your income. Here's what your expenses are. Here's the student loans you might have. Now go ahead and start filling it out. Go find housing. Go find a
car. Some kids were like spending money on furnishings for the apartment. You know,
right. And it's a great, great experience. And so I went around and did man-on-the-street interviews talking to these kids, what'd you learn? And they realized number one thing they can't do after they get a job is they can't head to Starbucks anymore. Because, you know, going to Starbucks every day is expensive.
Yep.
And they don't realize how much money mom and dad have been laying out for them. I was at Phillips Exeter Academy yesterday. Doing some presentations for kids in the school. And by the way, I'm always happy to go out and do presentations in the schools, in philanthropic groups, talk about anything as it relates to money. And I put three bottles of water on the table, three Poland Springs bottles of water on the table. And I said, this Poland Springs bottle here costs 13 cents, this one costs $1.99, and this one costs $4. Why? And the kids are all looking at me.
Sports venue for the one on the right.
Well,
the
far right. That was it. That was really what I was looking for. Some kid who's into economics starts giving me all these economic principles.
Really?
And wife, like, you're thinking way too hard here. It's basically this. 24 pack at Stop and Shop, $1.99 at Dunkin' Donuts if you want a water, and $4 at Fenway Park. And then I said to them, why? Why? And they learned about convenience. And so think about it. When you go to mom and you're driving in the car, you go, mom, I'm thirsty. And you make your mother pull over to get you a $1.99 Poland Springs bottle of water from Dunkin' Donuts or your local convenience store, think about the fact that you could have grabbed one from the house that cost 13 cents.
Right. Yeah.
And then again, when we were kids, we all drank out of the garden hose if we were thirsty, right?
That's true. The whole thing about water. And then, of course, we had actually, speaking of water, we're digressing here, but we had a story the other day about how all bottled water has plastic in it.
Yeah.
You're much better off, much safer drinking tap water.
Or out of a box. That's the new thing. It's boxed water.
Boxed water. Exactly. Before I let you go here, I've got to ask you about the stock market, because a lot of people who are investing in the stock market, it's up, it's down, it's over. And now we got the thing with China and we got the trade. What are you? Are you bullish, still bullish in the stock market?
Well, I look at investing in the stock market is very simple. If you're going to invest for 3 to 5 years or more, how can you not be bullish? If you're going to invest for 6 months, you might as well buy scratchies. Seriously, I mean, you have no idea what's going to happen.
It's gambling.
Yeah.
It really is.
Today, the market is expected to open up around 400 points this morning. Now, granted, yesterday the market was up 400 points, but ended up only up 40 points because around 3 o'clock, they talked about the raid into Trump's attorney's house.
Right.
So it's going to be up 400 points. Does that mean the day is going to be up 400 points? Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Yeah.
I never know what the market's going to do on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis. But I always feel comfortable that if you're well allocated, you're well positioned in the stock market. 3 years, 5 years, 10 years out, you got nothing to worry about.
Yeah. Well, historically, it bears out.
Absolutely. Yeah. All the time.
It is the best bet, let's say, right?
It is a smart bet, especially if you want to keep pace with inflation and keep that income coming to you when you're retired.
There you go. 401ks, 403bs, IRAs. You want to buy a home? Explain the buying a home service.
Well, that's really it. When it comes to financial planning, people oftentimes think of their financial advisor as the guy where I buy investments from.
Uh-huh.
We are comprehensive, certified financial planners. So my feeling is if you want me to place your financial interest first, that's the new throwaway line out there, acting as a fiduciary. If you want to have someone place your interest first, how can you not know where everything is and what everything is worth within a client's life? And there's all sorts of major financial decisions, like buying a house, like refinancing your house. Maybe you need to go buy a car. Maybe you want to move to Brooksby Village or some retirement community.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you need long-term care insurance. Maybe you need to adjust your automobile or homeowner's insurance or adjust the pay stub from your paycheck. All of that stuff is a certified financial planner. We're including as part of the relationship that we have with you. That is comprehensive financial planning.
Right. And if I get what you're saying, buying a home is part of your financial planning and always should be.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's part of our service. We don't bill separately for that.
And also, of course, investment management you do. Getting divorced, getting married, either way, affects your financial condition.
Absolutely.
Right? Mutual funds, real estate, job loss, insurance, life planning, retirement, stocks and bonds, long-term care, sudden wealth, as we were talking about before.
Yeah, sudden wealth, that's that new transfer of wealth that's happening. Families are leaving money for the next generation. Inheritance, you could win a scratchy if you want, but that's not likely to happen.
Yeah, right.
But the thing that we're seeing, because we've been doing this since 1968, 50 years today, we now average one death a month in the office. It's bound to happen.
Right, of your clients.
Of my, I'm not dying once a month. I mean, I don't have that many lives. So, and it's not because our coffee's really bad either.
Right.
But we do average one death a month. That's going to happen.
Of course.
And so now we have become expert in helping the surviving spouse or the surviving family understand how to transfer that wealth and make all of the proper financial decisions when someone passes away.
Right.
Many people just speculate as to what would happen. We know exactly what would happen, and we can guide you through that.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you here. And once again, congratulations on 50 years to you and your father.
Well, thank you.
Who started the business, of course, in the basement. But you have grown the business yourself.
Yeah.
And you have a tremendous reputation, ladies and gentlemen. Mark Friedman. Also, don't forget, Dollars and Cents Sundays from 8 to 9.
Each and every Sunday.
I listen. Mark, also, once again, the president of Freedom Financial in Peabody. And, of course, 50 years, celebrating 50 years. Thanks so much for
Mark
being
here. Mark with a C, two E's and a D on the last name.
That's there right. Friedman Financial. That's two E's and E. And don't forget our newsletter that comes out each and every Friday, 10:30 a.m. If you'd like a copy of our newsletter, go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Well done. This is Mornings with Dan and Muggs here at North Shore, 104.9.
Your local radio station, WBOQ Cluster, 104.9.
There's no better time than now to put up your new fence. But not just any fence. Come in and choose a fence from Northeastern Fence. For more than 50 years, Northeastern Fence has been helping homeowners and contractors select the best fencing for kids, dogs, and even ugly neighbors. That's right, Northeastern Fence. Stop by Northeastern Fence on Route 1 North in Saugus to